Life and peace to you from him who is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Amen. We meditate this morning on Isaiah chapter 12. It's actually the Old Testament lesson for Easter Dawn services and one of the other series ABC. It's for Lent Sunday 4, which is today. From Isaiah 12. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of the Prince of Peace, my greatest joy, the salvation of my soul, dearly redeemed believers. Wise is the man who marries a God-fearing woman who can respectfully tell him when he's wrong. Wise is the woman who marries a God-fearing man, who can lovingly stand up to her and not just cop out by saying all the time, yes, dear. Blessed are the children with God-fearing parents who love them enough to say no, especially when it involves their eternal welfare. Blessed are the people like us who know the God of the Bible and his message of law and gospel, sin and grace. My memories take me back to a tiring trip, a roadblock, a parking lot and a way around, a median, and farther down the highway, where the state patrol was waiting for me. He didn't much care that I had, you know, followed other people around the roadblock. And although he was working pretty hard at being patient, I didn't really understand why until later on my better half explained to me that I was not as respectful as I should have been. We have this idea about law enforcement. Is it just our human nature, or is it part of our American culture that they ought to just give us a pass? He did. But he could have written me a ticket. I would have deserved it. When we take this attitude of permissiveness and put it over on God, we lose the heat of his wrath and the warmth of his love. In that day, twice in this text and over again in the chapters leading up to this point in Isaiah, In that day is an expression from Isaiah in particular about the day when God finally gets tired of us driving around his roadblocks, not obeying his traffic laws, talking back to his spokesman. When God has finally had enough, that's the day of the Lord's judgment. If God did not put up with breaking his law by kings of Israel, prophets, priests, why would he put up with it from pastors, lay leaders, presidents, professors, husbands, wives, students, children? Why do we expect that from God, the same permissiveness that's wrapped up in our own mind? If you take God seriously, you know you're a target. They're being called the new atheists. Christopher Hitchens, others, names that you know, Richard Dawkins, just blasphemous atheists. And anybody that takes God seriously, those guys will go after him. And then there's the new atheists. These are the ones who maybe find out that you take God seriously, and they'll make sure that you end up somehow in their comedy routine. There's something in this human heart that does not want to take God seriously. Even the ancient Jews with the laws of God, instead of taking the word the way it was written, would change it. Instead of, we heard that a week or so ago about the Sabbath law, instead of remembering both sides of it, not working so that you could go to church, they thought Sabbath just meant rest and forget about hearing God's word. So then they made up all sorts of laws about how you weren't supposed to work, even to the point of saying that if you had a staff in your hand, you dare not drag your walking staff along the road because that would be like plowing and that would be working. This, it sounds so strange, but this is the way the human mind works. If we don't take God seriously with his word, we start to make it up. In that day, that's why the Lord, on that day of judgment, goes back to his own self-righteous Israelites, and he says to them, what will you do on the day of reckoning when disaster comes from afar? They knew they were the chosen people of Israel, but they assumed from that their city of Jerusalem, the physical city and that physical land, would go on no matter how many false gods they worshiped or how they trashed God's word and disrespected his prophets. What will you do on the day of reckoning? To whom will you run? The Lord actually would use wicked people to punish wicked people. He used the cruel Assyrians to punish the Israelites. And then when the Assyrians were arrogant, he destroyed the Assyrians. God doesn't put up with it. There is a day of wrath when God finally says, I've had enough. And you and I ought to hear these warnings from God and say, amen. You are right in your judgments. You read that in Revelation. Watch for that, where the saints praising God in heaven. And when we say glory to God in the highest, we are also praising God for his judgments. And especially in that day. If you look back to chapter 11, it would remind you about something we were doing here not so many weeks ago. We were singing, Behold, a branch is growing. Remember that? It comes from the first few verses of Isaiah chapter 11, where it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Behold, a branch is growing of loveliest form and grace. As prophets sung foreknowing, it springs from Jesse's race. Jesse was the father of David and bears one little flower in midst of coldest winter at deepest midnight hour. Isaiah had foretold it in words of promise sure, and Mary's arms enfolded a virgin meek and pure. Through God's eternal will, this child to her is given at midnight, calm and still. It was the day of God's wrath and God's judgment. The day finally came when all the sins committed beforehand and all those who would be committed up till now, the ones we'll commit tomorrow, they all came down on the innocent head of God's own Son, that branch. Every sin has to be paid for. No one gets out of the penalties. We think of the coarse sins like murder and adultery as if those are the only ones that God's concerned about. Attitudes of arrogance, back talk, whether you know you're doing it or not. The sins of the heart, the things we leave undone, the kind words that should have been spoken, the opportunities to witness for the Lord or serve the Lord, the times when our love for God's word and each other grows cold, when we're not as dedicated and zealous to his work anymore of spreading his word for the sake of souls. It all had to be punished. Every sin of yours and mine, what we did and what we left undone, but it was on that innocent Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is the day when God's judgment came down. When he had to cry out, as he had in Psalm 22, 1,000 years before the fact, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew why. But he cried out for us. He was forsaken for us. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So all my sinful attitudes, all your words that you can't get back and you only wish you could, emails that you sent when you shouldn't have, grace and mercy of God punished it all on Christ. And you know how you can tell that it was absolutely for sure forgiven? Easter. When God raised him from the dead, he said, satisfied. And you and I have gone to God's courtroom by faith. And there we who were dead to rights to God, guilty, for Jesus' sake, were declared not guilty because he paid the price for us all. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me. And I take your anger seriously. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Even in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, comfort, comfort my people. Speak peace to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sins are covered. Her warfare is over. We are reconciled to God. This message from the Bible is not to come and tell people you have to do this or you have to do that, but to announce to one and all your sins are forgiven. God is reconciled. He reconciled himself to you. He's not angry at you anymore. Now be reconciled to God. Accept what he gives you in the gospel so that you can say, surely God is my salvation. This is personal. Instead of worrying and fretting, I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. the one who takes these narrow parts of my life where I just feel like nothing's of any use and it's all pressing in on me, and he makes the wide way. That's what it means in Hebrew, the one who makes the wide way. He's the salvation and he's the deliverance. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Our first logo that I know of, at least in the Wisconsin Synod, was a well. Came up in our class the other night when I was handing out old copies of the Great Exchange. There's a well on one of those, and that reminded me of how we used as our logo for the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the wells, the well. Because here we come for the water of life to quench our thirsty souls, to hear that our sins are truly forgiven again and again. We need to hear it over and over again. We come to relive our baptism when we start our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That should remind us of our baptism as we begin to worship our triune God. We come to receive Christ's body and blood in, with, and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins, the salvation of our souls. It's an awesome thing to drink water from the wells of salvation. When you take God seriously in his law, you take God seriously in the good news of the gospel too. And you realize how awesome it is that his mercy triumphs over his judgment. And on that day, you will say, God has helped me. God has helped me. And thank God he wasn't done with that. We don't have to come up with the greatest arguments, the logical ways to quiet down the atheists, the new atheists, or the new atheists. You don't have to have all the logical arguments. We can't convert anyone. We couldn't convert ourselves. So that's why he says, in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that the name of the Lord is exalted. What has God done for you? I encourage you, every worship service, every time you read your Bible or read the meditations, pick out one little nugget of gold there that is really meaningful for you. It'll make you pay closer attention. What is that one thing in this sermon or this Bible class or this Bible reading that really is meaningful to me personally? Because someone you know or will know tomorrow needs to hear that. And you can tell that person what God has done for you. In that day, you will say, sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. In Forward in Christ, don't you love those articles of confession of faith where they find somebody who can remember becoming a Christian? Like this woman in New York City, I don't know how many years ago it was, where she said she was on her hands and knees begging God for help. She, at work, was a strategic planner. But this was a point in her life where she just felt like everything was falling apart. No matter what she did, nothing was working. She finally got down on her knees. She said she begged God for forgiveness. I finally humbled myself and admitted that any plan I put into place would not work because I had not put God before me. I had not asked God for his help. On that day, I set aside my pride and asked God for help. This is the day. The Lord calls the day today. When you and I can set aside our pride and go to God and ask for help in every need. And think about it. Think about it the way in that great victory chapter, Romans 8, he says we should think about it. He who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not, along with him, graciously give us all things? You get the reasoning? This is sanctified reasoning, where logic is sanctified by God's word. If he gave the great gift of his son into death for us all, which he most certainly did, and declared us not guilty by his resurrection, is there anything in your life that's bigger than that? Every other need we have is so tiny and insignificant compared to our soul's salvation. When you're baptized in the Lord's name, he's put his name on you, he's adopted you into his family. Now you belong to him, but he loved you when you were still his enemy. He reconciled himself to you while you were still angry at him and he was angry at you, but he set his wrath aside. He reconciled himself, and now he calls to all of us, as to this woman, be reconciled to God. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. You're citizens of Zion, that new Jerusalem that God will bring down out of heaven very soon, where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. God took away the roadblocks when he sent his son to make the way wide to heaven to follow him. In our view as sinners in this earth, it's still narrow and rocky, yes, but it's open. He made that highway for our God, and he has paid our penalties in his blood. Follow him in your new citizenship. And remember on the way, somebody needs to hear from you what great things God has done for you. Say it today. God has helped me. God has helped you. Amen. Please rise.